My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
Hey, look, Will Lucas here, Black Tech Green Money. This conversation that you're about to hear is from AfroTech 2019, held in Oakland, California. It's with the incredible Delaine Parnell, who is the CEO of PlayVersus, a competitive gaming company, otherwise known as an esports company. Delaine is on the main stage at AfroTech, the world's largest black tech conference, talking with Morgan Devon, CEO of Blavity. Honestly, for me, this is the talk that I remember most from that year's conference. And there have been a lot of memorable experiences at AfroTech of yore, but this one in particular features a few gems dropped, a few bars laid down perfectly, and if you listen, a few nuggets of wisdom which would help you find your own ways to success in tech. It's the holiday season, so I'm throwing it back, and be honest, because I want to hang out with my family too, but I didn't want to leave you without a dope beat to step to, so I'm bringing some heat today. So I hope you listen to this conversation diligently and with the idea that you're going to come away better than you were going in. So let's listen in.
Please give it up for the session all about Play to Win, the business of esports, with Delaine Parnell from the 313 and Morgan Devon from the 314.
What's up, AfroTech?
Hey, what up, fam?
Did anybody's arm start hurting while they were watching that? Okay. All right, Delaine, how are you?
Good, I'm great.
You recovered from that party?
It's a beautiful
last night?
Room right here.
It is a beautiful room. So first, let's just talk about what is esports. You know, I think a lot of people have maybe heard the phrase esports, but we might not know what it is. So why don't you tell people what it means?
So how many people here, by show of hands, have ever heard of esports before? All right, cool. So for most of you, you have a good understanding of exactly what it means. For those who don't, esports is really a term used to describe competitive video gaming. So playing video games in the same format and structure as sports. Mm-hmm. And so there's an entire industry built around it. Professional leagues that look like the NBA, the NFL, lots of the team owners in those professional leagues are the same owners who own franchises in the NFL, NBA. And we're working on the amateur side of that.
Right. So when you say amateur side, what does that mean?
99.9% of gamers, right? So of the 1,000 pro players, there's 2.4 billion amateur players who enjoy playing video games, and we're building software that enables competition for them.
Mm-hmm. So you recently closed your Series C. Let's give a big shout out to that. Not many of us have made it to Series C yet. I do not envy that level of pressure.
No, for real.
So you've raised a little under $95 million
No, 96 million.
96. I was there. I was... Don't forget a million now.
Amen.
96 million in under
13 months.
13 months. The company's 18 months old?
21.
Tell me about that experience. Tell me about how you got started and what your journey has been to get to where you are today.
So I started the company last January, really around the mission of building out the infrastructure around amateur esports. So what that means is if you're going to play esports and you're not going to be a professional, you're going to play online. And so who's going to own the generational product where all of that competition happens? And so we went out to build that company. The way that we approached it is really unique, mostly because we have to even have a company, we have to work with game publishers who own their IP. So in many ways, it's the same challenge that groups like Spotify or Netflix have, where they have to go work with third parties who spend billions of dollars developing IP, and you have to acquire the rights to be able to like commercialize that. And so to be able to accomplish that, we decided to take a really unique approach into how we enter the market. And end up basically owning and operating high school esports. So we went to this group called the NFHS, who governs all high schools in the country, essentially the same as the NCAA in the same office for the past 100 years. And we received a partnership with them to own and operate esports at 20,000 high schools across the country. So having that distribution allowed us to go out. Thank you. So having that distribution allowed us to go out, acquire the rights from publishers, build a team that built, you know, product, and then essentially started to, you know, raise money on the back of that idea. And so, you know, last May, we raised our Series A, $15.5 million, which just a few months after launching, and then a few months later, raised our Series B, $30.5 million. And then a couple months ago, we closed our Series C, $50 million.
Mm-hmm. What is all this money for? How are you going to deploy this capital? What is the return on investment? I mean, it's a multi-billion dollar industry, so we know that you need a lot of money to go after it. So what are you going to do?
Sure. Yeah. So look, the opportunity in front of us, at least, you know, based on, you know, our assumption and all of the research that we've done, is that we're building a 100 million plus user subscription business, right? So we're building the biggest company in gaming, biggest company, certainly the most impactful, most valuable company in esports. And we need people, right, to get there. And people in LA specifically are really expensive. And so, as you know all too well. And so, look, we're using that money to build more product, to invest in our community. It's a new category. So there's certainly going to be some bumpy roads within the sort of, you know, bubble that's being created. And we want to be around. And so we haven't spent most of that money, but we're certainly looking forward to continuing to invest in our people. And we're launching some new stuff next year. So today we're in high school, and a third of the country has adopted esports, right? Video games as a sanctioned sport in high school, which is pretty crazy. Mm-hmm. Next year we're going
to
be
taking... Can you just explain that? Because I'm not sure that everybody fully gets it. What does it mean to be a sanctioned sport in high school? You've got people with, like, varsity esports, right?
Yeah, no, it's pretty wild. So if you go to high school and you play a sport, you can win a state championship for it. The fact that you can win that state championship means that the sport has been sanctioned. You know, we partner with this group in all of these states for them to adopt video games as a sanctioned sport. I mean, kids who go to certain schools, like in California, for example, they can play a game like League of Legends or, you know, maybe in the future NBA 2K for a state championship, as the kids in basketball or football or soccer today does. They can earn a varsity letter. They can be eligible for the, you know, state hall of fame and the state record books. They can receive, you know, millions of dollars in scholarship because, you know, hundreds of colleges offer tens of millions of dollars in scholarships. And so, you know, we've created an entire environment for kids who care about video games and want to be recognized for their talents there to be able to go out and take their career to the next level.
That's awesome. Yeah, don't be shy, AfroTech. Don't be shy. This is a lot of work. Yeah.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, Participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa!
And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
So let's bring it back. Let's bring it back to Detroit. So you're from Detroit. You're a serial entrepreneur. Yeah. We got Detroit in the building. Just in the front. Okay. You're a serial entrepreneur. You've been hustling almost all your life.
Yep.
What made you decide to take it to the next level and go after the Silicon Valley money?
Yeah, no, look, I mean, well, there's no, what's the alternative, right, is the real question. So, I grew up, born and raised in Detroit, Jeffrey's Projects, spent the sort of second half of my life as a teenager on the west side of Detroit, raised by a single mother. Myself and my older brother, and my mom, she did some stuff that was pretty impactful, like early on into my career. Looking back, especially now, you know, she got us summer jobs. I worked at this cell phone store, and my brother ended up working at this meatpacking place called Meat Town, and now he works as a chef. And obviously, I work in business, and so this guy at the cell phone store named Sam, he took me under his wing, allowed me the opportunity to basically be able to learn and experiment as I went, and eventually I ended up owning some cell phone stores in high school, started a car rental, ended up working in venture capital, worked at a startup that
raised
a bunch
of money.
How old were you? When I was working in venture, I was like 20, 21.
Right, early.
Yeah, no, so it was super early. There was like no, that's when, you know, it's interesting. People would tell me like, hey, you need an MBA. And I was like, man, you know, maybe for you, you know, like, I was like, what's an MBA? Like, I dropped out of school. I went to school for a semester. I was like, man, nobody getting money here. I was like, I got to get out of here. No, for real. So I left school, and I was like, I'm a figure it out. You know, like, for me to go, my mom has, like, all of these old videos of me. When I was a kid, people would be like, you know, what do you want to be? What do you want to do? And I would always respond, like, I want to be a billionaire, like, or I'm going to be a billionaire. And I never really knew exactly how I'd get there. I always had the conviction that I would. And luckily, you know, I was able to find an avenue through gaming, which is something I care a lot about, you know, tech, which is something I care a lot about. And, you know, for me, like, I want to be the first African-American to sell a tech company for $1 billion. And I think we're well on our way. So, you know, I'm happy about that.
So a lot of times, I mean, I want to talk about this. I feel like we've talked about this before. A lot of times, I think in the black tech space, because there's so few of us who raise venture funding, we celebrate the raise.
Yeah.
And sometimes it can be kind of a false sense of success because that's fake, you know, that's just numbers on a piece of paper,
right?
It's not liquid. So what is your point of view on kind of the state of black startups, black tech? Do you think that we've made progress? Do you think that we're approaching it the right way? Just what are your general thoughts about where we are today?
Yeah, well, first off, I think, you know, lots of companies are investing into, you know, fixing whatever said pipeline issue that they have. And I think while I don't think that there's a pipeline issue, just from having exposure to being in those rooms, it's really for them an awareness issue and an exposure issue. You know, I went down to Atlanta with a really well-known angel investor who's invested into companies that have sold for tens of billions of dollars. He'd never been to Atlanta. You know, he had no ever intentions of ever going to Atlanta. And the one time I asked him, you know, he was so curious, he decided to, like, get on a plane and come down. And I'd imagine that that's the case for lots of lots of investors, you know, who invest tons of capital into companies. It's mostly like into people who look like them because that's like that's the exposure that they have, right? Those are the relationships that they have within their network. And so, you know, I think what we need to really spend a lot of time talking about, and I talk about this quite often, is that certainly like we need to continue to put pressure on investors to put money into Black companies, and I do that very often. In fact, like I was invited to some big like CEO exclusive conference earlier this year, and I told them, they sent me this invite, and it was you know, an honor, obviously, but I responded and I said, hey, look, I looked at the list of people, there's no Black people besides me, like if you can invite these 10 people, like I'm happy to come, otherwise like I don't want to be there. I think the people in those positions need to do more of that and like continue to put pressure on thank you. Yeah, look, I think we need to continue to put pressure on you know, people with the resources, right, to open up doors for our people and invest in our ideas. I also think we need to invest in our people's ideas, right, in our own community, right? Like we have our own resources. We have to be willing to take risks in each other and willing to build up our own community, right, and take ownership in that. Secondly, you know, because not everyone's an entrepreneur, I think we need to really start, obviously people should go to school and certainly focus on engineering or product-related roles. I think there's a lot of opportunity to build generational wealth in being an engineer or being a product manager or even a project manager at a company. But I also think that we need to encourage our people to go work in HR, right? I think HR is the perfect opportunity to be able to go out and, you know, hire the next set of executives and train the next set of executives. And I think if there were more people who look like us in some of these big companies in HR roles, especially like HR leadership roles, you'll see more people within these companies that look like us. And so I think between those three things, you're seeing a little bit of it now, like we're in the early stages of development there, but certainly a long way to go. And I think that's a good roadmap to get in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So thinking about kind of your journey to date, you've got some rock star investors. What has been your process for fundraising? You know, Detroit doesn't necessarily have a ton of people who are in venture capital. There are a couple of people who've made a significant amount of investments there, but the number is small, but their amount is big. They're very rich. So what was your process? How did you get started with your first check?
Yeah, so I had to leave Detroit, by the way, to get my first check. You know, it's interesting to be this kid from Detroit, really in all of the right networks, when there's really, in Detroit, there's like only one network, right? Dan Gilbert, he like owns the entire city. He owns the biggest companies in the city. But I'm within the network, right? We have a relationship personally. You know, I had this idea and I wanted to start this company. I went to meet with his team the week before I was scheduled to leave. And you know, I was like, hey, look, I got this idea. We obviously have a relationship. Do you guys want to support it? And the guy whose job is to keep people, like talented people in the city, told me, like, no, you should go. You should go and do that.
Why did you think he said that?
I mean, look, you know, they typically invest in white Jewish men, right? Like within their community. And while I have like great respect for that, like that's just like that's what they do, right? And so, you know, frankly, I don't think he had faith. Like I think that's super clear. And he certainly didn't see the vision. And so, you know, it's interesting. I go back now. I was just there for the Forbes conference, and everybody knew I was going to be a great success. They're like, man, I knew. You know, I'm so. You know,
of course,
the fakest love in the world is like when they come up to you, you try to work with somebody, they're like, I'm so proud of you. You know, I'm like, what are you talking about, man?
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
But I met this guy named Peter Pham at South by Southwest. And, you know, Peter's super important in my journey because, you know, he spoke with me for 30 minutes, thought the idea that I was thinking about was super compelling and said, hey, give me your phone number. Let's talk about this. And he followed up. Like, I didn't have to reach out to him. He followed up the next day and said, hey, I've been thinking a lot about what you've been thinking, what you talked about, and here's how I think we can approach it. And he asked me to come to L.A. and spend time with him and his partners, and so I did. So, one, I talked to him. I was not afraid to share my idea with him, and I think a lot of us, we're so possessive of our ideas, we're afraid to get our ideas out in the universe. Like, you got to share it. That's the only way. Like, first off, it's such an arrogant, you know, mentality to be like, I don't want to share my idea. Like, we all have ideas. No one's going to steal your idea.
Right.
The only thing that can really happen is, like, you'll have conversation and people will help you evolve and enhance the idea, right? And so, like, that's the first thing I did there. I think that, like, is a strong lesson. And beyond that, like, when Peter followed up, you know, I jumped at the opportunity. So he's like, hey, come to L.A. I was, like, on the next plane to L.A. And I recognize not everyone has the financial resources to do that. But if you do, like, you should take those opportunities. And don't really worry about what's on the other side of that. And so I went out there. I spent time with him. And there was still, you know, some time where, you know, I was, like, on the fence about it. Because I was like, I'm from Detroit. I like to do this in Detroit. But there was nobody there really willing to support me. And even then, I was still pretty committed to the city. But Peter called me. And he said something I'll never forget. He's like, look, you can be a millionaire in Detroit or a billionaire in L.A. Like, you get to choose.
Right.
He's like, but, like, you give me 24 hours, like, don't waste my time, you know. And I called him the next day. I was like, man, I done gave everything away. Like, I'm on my way. And I jumped there, and I went out to L.A. And, you know, basically worked on the idea for, like, 6 months, really, like, talking to people, sharing the idea, making relationships, figuring out the fundamentals of the idea to actually go out and establish a company. So I spent 6 months working on it before we'd ever started the company. And that was just me in a tiny room figuring it out. There was times where I couldn't articulate it, times where I didn't even think like we'd be successful, but I just every single day stayed focused. And I wrote out like three objectives too. I said, hey, if I can acquire publisher relationships, acquire distribution, and build a strong product, like I can build a company. And so I would always focus on those three things because I think in the early days, if you don't like set a North Star, it's a lot of distractions out there. So you end up not being productive in how you approach work. And so, you know, I think it's super like important to do that. And I wrote those three things down early on and I stayed focused on those three things. And eventually, like the, you know, pieces of the puzzle started to come together. And so, you know, we went out and raised our first round and I think in April, and our story is super privileged. Like, we did four meetings. We're really strategic about how we approached it. We only met Thursday and Friday, because the objective is to get to a partners meeting on Monday. And so if you meet too early in the week, you know, there's a chance where the whole thing falls apart. And so, you know, we did Thursday and Friday, did a bunch of partners meetings Monday, luckily, and then we announced our company publicly on, like, Tuesday. So we're, like, really strategic about it. And when we announced it publicly, hundreds of publications started to write about us. And so now all of the investors we just met with the day before who are mulling over if they want to make a decision, they're seeing all of the excitement around the business. Tons of other companies, investors, want to meet with us. And so we take another set of Thursday and Friday. We started to get all of these offer letters. And then we just like quickly made a decision on who we wanted to work with. And so the next couple of rounds were like pretty easy as well, like very quick for us. You know, so I don't know if that's super helpful for anyone here, but yeah, like, I think it's just every story is a lot different in fundraising. I think the one thing that people talk about, like our investors talk about that I think is helpful is like, you know, I walked into that room with a ton of confidence. Like when they would ask me, first off, like as black entrepreneurs, like even when I was an investor, one thing I always realized is that like we're willing to share all of the details. Like we'll tell you anything you ask for. Like investors don't have truth serum like attached to you. Like you have the opportunity to say what you want to disclose and what you don't want to disclose. Like, an investor's job is to, like, meet you, learn as much as they can because they're taking notes, and then they're going to track you over time, right? And if you're progressing, they're going to be, like, really aggressive in trying to write a check. And if you're not, they're going to refer back to their notes, and then, like, they're going to, like, check back in sometime afterwards. And so, you know, I always take the approach of, if I'm not fundraising, I'm not building relationships with investors. And then two, nothing kills a raise better than numbers and time, right? And so, like, if you're saying you're going to hit some numbers, and, you know, over some time you don't do that, or if you're saying you're raising, but, you know, a year later someone sees you again and you're still raising, like, the raise is dead, you know? So, like, it's time to get back to work and find an alternative. But look, venture dollars also aren't the only way to build a company. Like, there's tons of ways to do so. And to Morgan's earlier point, like, when you raise capital, it's not like the end all be all. Like, we have a ton of work to do. I like to say it's like, you know, having resources to buy a plot of land, but we still have to build the house, right? And then sell the house. And so we have a mortgage, essentially. But, you know, investors want to return on their capital, and we're committed to give them one. But just know that pressure is real.
Yeah, absolutely.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals. Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
So momentum is key. Let's talk about your team. So you raised all this money. You guys are growing incredibly fast. How are you structuring your team? How are you organizing your time as a CEO? You're on the road constantly. Yeah. I know you're very careful about what you do and not do and how you manage your time. So talk us through a little bit, because again, there's very few people at your level in our generation. So how do you manage your time today?
Yeah, so I say no to as much, you know, as many things as possible. Hanging out with some celebrity, no. Like, you know.
Unless it's Diddy.
Diddy is my man. Like, you know, like that's a different thing. But there's been times too where I've like had to take the back seat because I'm like, look, I just got stuff to do. But no, like, you know, if the opportunity, you know, comes along, like, you know, I'm trying to be in the car, you know, like, but no, look, you know, but seriously though, like, you know, saying no to opportunities to hang out with people, to go to parties, to do dinners and meetings or like whatever it is, you know, like you have to learn how to say no. That also applies to like family. Like it's super important to like just be focused on your time and to prioritize like what's in front of you from like a team perspective and then the personal perspective. Like you gotta make sure you're taking care of yourself. And so saying no to as much stuff as possible is like one thing that I practice. And people get mad about it, like, but you know, you have to do that if you want to be successful. From a team perspective, like, I love my team. Like, I think I have an incredible collection of people. It's one of the most diverse companies you'll walk into ever. You know, gender, ethnicity, background, you know, so many beautiful shades of people. And they're all really experienced. They've helped build companies. They all have different backgrounds. And I'm super fortunate for that. The one thing that'll make a company be successful is team. Like, the idea literally does not matter because the idea evolves too, right? And it changes over time. And it changes based on the people that you work with and you hire. And so finding the best team possible is super important. And the one thing that, you know, I always focused on, especially because we raised so much money, was now I have the resources to swing, you know, basically in the different weight class. So I went out and hired the best executives. Like, you know, I was hiring executives whose opportunity was like, come join this really small startup with five people or go be an executive at Bird when they were, you know, just raised $1 billion. But, you know, I had a lot of confidence. You know, I had a really strong vision. And I was just on their phone every day. Hey, look, let's talk about this more. Tell me what issues, you know, you have. What are you contemplating on this? Just like trying to work through their problems to convince them to come over. And we ended up hiring some really incredible people. Like, one of our guys is Robert Lamvick, who is the VP. He was the head of growth at Spotify and Headspace. His team grew Spotify while he was there through 30 million subs from basically nothing, and then through 70 million subs after he left through his strategy and vision. And then he left to go to Headspace and grew them to 100 million in revenue. And he joined super early, like before we'd done any sort of acquisition. Like, we had no acquisition strategy. It was all organic growth. And in fact, I mean, it's so insane. We paid a recruiter $115,000 just to like identify a list of people and try to help us go out to recruit
them.
Nuts. He was the number one person on the list, but he wouldn't take the call.
Wow.
But we went to go hire this CTO who was actually on the Beats leadership team and on the Headspace leadership team, and he joined. And as soon as he joined, Robert would take his call because they worked together. And then, you know, a couple weeks later, you know, he was at the company. But, you know, we definitely lost that $115,000. So being a recruiter, again, being an HR is a good business. There's a lot of money to be made there, you know.
Right.
It actually doesn't take much effort. It's just like, find people, you know, get them to talk to this company, and then you take 30% of their salary. It's like super easy.
Right.
Look, team, hire really strong people. Don't prioritize hiring friends. Hire the best person for the job. And don't worry about domain experience. So, like, for us, like, we're focused on esports. So we don't need people who understand esports. We need people who have incredible depth at whatever their job is. So if you're a CFO, I want you to be the best CFO possible based on that skill set. And then I want you to be an incredible leader, right? So, like, leadership ability and skill, and then depth in your experience and, like, your domain, I think, is most important than actual market experience.
So we have about 6 minutes left. So I want to get some tangible advice. You've given some great advice about folks who already have startups and how they can approach the raising process. What about people who are considering getting into startup world? How many of you all have a day job but may want to be an entrepreneur? Yeah, so what are your thoughts on people who may have a good, because you're here, you got a good paying job, so you're doing well. But do you really want to be broke like the rest of us for some time? So that's the risk. What is your advice to people who are thinking about taking that leap of faith and starting their own company and following their dreams?
Yeah, so look, my first piece of advice is, before you become an entrepreneur, come work at PlayVersus. So that's the first piece of advice, right? Like, I think especially if it's a tech company, you want to be at a company that was really small that went really big. And you want to be a part of that experience, right? Because, like, learning, going through that journey will prepare you to actually be an entrepreneur. I had that journey right before I started PlayVersus. I was an early employee at this company called Rocket Fiber. We raised $31 million from Dan Gilbert. And so we were like the largest raise in Michigan history at the time. And we were just like a couple kids who knew nothing about what we were doing. And we built this incredible company, right? And so I learned so much through that process. And I got to work hands-on directly with our CEO. And had I not had that experience, I would never have been able to be successful at PlayVersus, especially like this fast and, you know, this early. And so, look, I think that's like the first piece of advice I would give you. I know everyone's really excited to jump out there and start companies, but definitely go and learn and study before you do so. And then when you're committed to doing so, like, do it, right? Like, you can start by working at whatever company you're working at, as long as it's not PlayVersus, and be working like on the project on the side, right? After work, you know, on weekends, and really commit to it, get something built, get it out and market, you know, test it, continue to iterate, and then like jump and like, you know, quit your job full time and like focus on it. But like, whatever you do, if you take that approach or you just jump straight out the window, like, make sure you're like committed to it and like you focus on, you focus your time like while you're working on it.
So any final advice for the AfroTech community
before we depart.
Any final advice?
Yeah. Any final words?
Yo, we just, you know, look, man, you know, we deserve, you know, I think that a lot of people, you know, we always are like asking to be in a room or asking for a seat at the table. Like, look, we deserve not only to be at those tables, to like to own those rooms. And so I think, you know, as you guys are all in here, first off, it's incredible to see so many people committed on a Saturday to be here to learn, to meet people. I think this is a beautiful thing. And this is already, you know, one step ahead of whoever is talking about doing something but actually haven't started. And so you guys should really be all, like, just proud of yourself, frankly, for, like, being here and committing that time. But in general, like, yo, we just have to prioritize ownership. Like, we have to own stuff, you know, whether that's our homes. To be honest, I don't know if owning a car makes sense, but like certainly homes, you gotta like have equity in businesses and yourself, and you have to like you have to really care about that. And also we have to support each other. You know, Jay-Z had this this rap, and if anyone hasn't heard it, like they should go listen to it. And it was like at one of his concerts, when like after Nipsey Hussle passed, and he talked about how like what most people don't recognize in like a crab in a barrel mentality is like if the crab holds on to each other as they like are, you know, on their way out the barrel, the first one that gets out, as long as everyone stays attached, everyone will get out. But instead, you know, one crab is trying to pull each other down basically as soon as someone makes progress. Like we can't be on that wave anymore. Like we can't hate on each other. We have to support each other. If we say we're gonna do something for each other, we have to actually follow through with that. And we have to hold each other accountable like when we aren't doing that, you know. And so I think that's an important lesson that you know, I found is super helpful in my life, and I try to prioritize that. And just that mentality in general. Like I never want to be the only black person in the rooms that I'm in. I say no to stuff if I'm the only black person in the rooms that I'm in. And like, you know, if you get to that level, or even if the room is a small room, like you gotta bring people who look like you in there, people who wanna be in that room, and then like y'all gotta just put in the work, you know, and stay focused, and then open the door for the next generation of people who also wanna be there.
Well, thank you, Delane. Yeah, shout out to that. We appreciate you.
Of course, yeah.
We celebrate you. Congratulations again.
You, come on.
This is a big moment. So thank you all. Please keep your seats because we're going to go straight to the next speaker.
Black Tech Green Money is a production of Blavity Afrotech on the Black Effect Podcast Network and iHeartMedia. It's produced by Morgan DeBon and me, Lil Lucas, with additional production support by Love Beach and Marissa Lewis. Special thank you to Micah Davis, Adam Sims, and Sakara Savagnon. You know, like the wine? Yes, that's his real name. Learn more about my guests and other tech disruptors and innovators at afrotech.com. The video version of this episode will drop to Black Tech Green Money on YouTube, so tap in. Enjoying Black Tech Green Money? Leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes. Go get your money. Peace and love.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.